This episode of the Oh No 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 podcast is sponsored by Dynamic Industrial Services, the rope access specialists. The roof of the south stand at Starch Park is some 19 metres above the pitch, the same height as 11 Aidan Connollys. But as we all know, there's only one Aidan Connolly, and so you'd be much better off with Dynamic Industrial Services. DIS specialise in working at height, offering a range of services including maintenance, inspection and repair. To find out more, visit dynamicindustrialservices.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Oh No No podcast. January 25th, it's Burns night tonight. So as you're munching on your haggis, neeps and patties this evening, we're going to look towards our match against Inverness. Now, we've got previous custodians. We've had seven players in the past with the name Burn across the years for Raith Rovers. And we are looking ahead to this Saturday's game against Cali Thistle. Now, despite press reports, we've not got our baldy-headed, bearded front man. Duncan Cameron is missing tonight, so I'm going to be the one that's leading the line. My name's Robbie Weir. And of course, we're joined firstly by Blair Hopcroft. How are you, Blair?
Very well, mate. Very well.
Good stuff. We've also got Ian Latto.
Hello.
And then we've got a special welcome to Leslie Mabin. Now, Leslie, there was a specific YouTube comment from Mr. Truffle a few days ago, who said, was about to watch this podcast, then they got really political, ramming their environmental agenda crap down my throat. Keep this going with this, and your pod subs will quickly decline in style. You obviously have no clue what you're talking about and pushing when you say this garbage. Leslie, can you provide us with a green environmental science fact to kick us off this evening?
I'm not going to provide you with a green environmental fact, but I am going to do something that is going to bring a bit of balance to the podcast. As you know, we're all about balanced opinions in here. And so for those of you that listened in previously, I had my bamboo recycled Forest Green Rangers top on. Today, however, I have got a Jeff United Chiba shirt, the limited edition run from the 2019 season, that has an imprint on the front of the Sodegaura oil refinery on the Japanese coast. So we've had 1 week of recycled bamboo. We've now got another week of the Japanese equivalent of Grangemouth. Any Falkirk fans that are watching or listening, don't get any ideas. Put all that aside, looking forward to talking about the Rovers with you for the next hour.
Or do get some ideas. I'd love to see Grangemouth on a Falkirk strip. That'd be hilarious.
I mean, it's got to be an improvement on having a crunchy carrot on the front of their top like they've got now.
So, that's true.
There you go, Mr. Truffle.
Satisfying. I was going to say, as Duncan said through the week, it's amazing that it's taken nearly 30 episodes for somebody to say we've no idea what we're talking about.
Aye. I just thought it would be something to do on a football pitch rather than about green football tops. So we return back to Starks Park to play 8th place Inverness this weekend. It's just been the one win in 7 for Cali. A really important point that we just want to start with, though, it's been highlighted by Carol in our podcast chat, just with relation to a food bank drive that's going to be happening this Saturday. So there is going to be a collection, the Community Foundation, RRCF, and Raith Rovers Football Club, in their continued support of the local food bank and community, are running a collection at this Saturday's game. So points to drop off your donation will be about the ground. Also, the food bank is the 200 Club's nominated charity, so funds are constantly being raised throughout the year with regards to that really great cause. So there will be a cash collection buckets around in the supporters clubs and on the ramp. Now, the food bank does urgently require non-perishable food items. So examples of that is going to be stuff like tinned fruit, pot noodles and toiletries. And they also want to send a special thanks to Ford Kirkcaldy for providing crucial assistance with a van for storage and transportation to the food bank hub. So if you are going along on Saturday, if you've got a few coins left over, I know that it's a bit more difficult post-COVID. Everyone's using their smartphones to pay for things now. But if you do have any sort of tins or things to bring along and to donate, really good cause to help out in the community and just a very, very good impression for the club to be making. So we just wanted to start on that point. So moving towards the match, though, I'm going to turn to you, Blair, first. Looking ahead to the game, defensively, we've changed things a bit up over the last few weeks with Keith Watson still being a long-term injury, but returning ever closer week by week based on the press reports. And then Ewan Murray as well missing out over the last few games. If they're fit, who would you be looking to start in terms of your defence?
This is like it's like deja vu, isn't it? We've been here before. I genuinely think we could just get a wee tombola and we'll probably be a wee bit more accurate. I would hope Ewan Murray will be fit enough to start on Saturday. The more I kind of think about this, the more I'm beginning to wonder if Scott Brown might end up playing anyway. Like, I keep looking at it and I'm thinking, do you know what? If he gets Watson and Murray back, that's a great centre-half pair and that gives you a really solid back four. But where does Brown go? Like, into the midfield, but then who comes out? And it's I think he's kind of got to this stage where, you know, you want your best players on the park at all times, but there's only 11 jerseys. So I think it's a really tough one for us to predict, obviously not knowing that they've been quite tight-lipped about recoveries and injuries and stuff like that. And there's obviously still ongoing chatter about the potential of bringing in another defender before the close of the window. Which I mean might be before or after Saturday's game. But yeah, I'd be hoping to see Ewan Murray back in, probably with Scott Brown would be my prediction, if that's the right phrase.
Right, a brief break there for technical difficulties, which hopefully will be sorted here. Leslie, just to turn to you next. I know that you made it down to Livingston and you'll have seen the last few games. Do you think it's an opportunity for potentially Dylan Corr to come back in, make a case for him to come back into the starting 11?
I would say I think it may well be. If Keith Watson is not 100% and if Murray's not going to throw him in from the off, then bear in mind, Corr played up at Inverness and did pretty well. So I'd be absolutely fine with Dylan Corr coming back in. Something I do think to note, and I mentioned this online, and is the amount of chopping and changing that we've had in our back line. And this is not all the manager's fault. You can't legislate for injuries. But I had a look and we've gone 13 games now, if you include the Challenge Cup, where you could be excused starting a few of your younger players. But we've gone 13 games where we've changed something either in goals or in the defensive unit. And when you think about it like that, it's no wonder that we're leaking some of the kind of goals that we are. So I'd be quite happy for Corr to get minutes, if nothing else, so that down the line he can become the recognised go-to standing centre-back when anything happens. And just to say very briefly as well, and picking up what Blair had said before, the electrical gremlins kicked in. Scott Brown, there is a real challenge there if everybody is ever fit, in that you're actually looking at a situation where the captain may not necessarily always fit into the strongest 11, and that's going to be a very challenging dynamic to have if we ever get to that situation, but not one that we're going to have to address right now.
Yeah. Can I just jump in on Dylan Corr there?
Of course.
I actually think that Dylan Corr has got a lot of like kind of the raw attributes to be a really good centre-half. Like, I think it's his birthday today, 20 years old. If you look at the kind of size of him, you know, like in terms of like, you know, he's the way his kind of body's distributed, and like he's such an athlete, he's quick. I think he's got a kind of an element of pace that I don't think any of the other centre-halves in our squad have got. But to kind of, for him to come on as a player, he needs games. He really needs to play. And I just don't think that Murray's got that level of trust in him. Do you know, like, you kind of see that where, when we're chasing the game, I can't remember, it was the home game, the last one. Was it Queen's Park, where he got pulled off? you know, he's the one that's the kind of make weight for us to change the kind of shape and stuff. And I just get the impression that Murray doesn't quite fancy him. And as much as he does have those raw attributes, he needs the game time to complement them, to kind of grow into the game and become the player that I really do think he will be. I'd like to see him sign on for another year, because I do think he will become a good centre-half, but he needs to play.
Yeah.
I would agree with that, actually. I was just going to say, the only thing I think that goes in his favour a little bit is last season, when we went Murray Ball, Scott Brown was always the one that made way. So I don't know if the substitution is necessarily as kind of damning as you might think. I think it is just a pure tactical thing of keeping your kind of strongest defenders on the park. Well, the only two defenders that he has on the park. But when we had that little break there, we were just looking back, and actually we've never had the same back four play three consecutive games this season. So when you actually go back, you look at our recognised, what you would think is our best back four. So you're probably thinking Millen at right back, Dick at left back, Watson and Murray together at centre half. They've never played twice together. They've never played two games on the back because of Dick getting sent off, because of Millen's injury at the beginning of the season, and then because of Watson's injury. And then there's like two kind of makeshift back fours. So we've had, when Dick was suspended, you had Millen with Watson and Murray and McGill at left back. They played twice on the bounce together, and then it changed. And we've had the back four that played at Tannadice played two games back to back, but again, haven't played a third. We've literally never had the same back four for three games on the bounce this season.
That's it. And I mean, I was thinking about this, and I nearly vented about this online. Pretty much for the entire season, our defence has been managed on an emergency basis. Pretty much for the whole season, we've been, you know, putting wingers in at right back, at centre midfielders in at the centre of defence. And as myself and Graham Meldrum say in our day jobs an awful lot, that is clearly not sustainable. Again, it's not necessarily Murray's fault, but it's not sustainable.
No, it's not.
I think it will be interesting in particular for Corr moving forward. I fully agree with what you've said, Ian. That he needs the game time to be able to really kick on as a player. And that it's at that point where I think that Ian Murray really sort of almost needs to make a decision about it, whether he's going to be the one that's going to come in and kick on. Again, Ian Murray was in the Courier today talking about defensive reinforcements, and I think that's a fair point to make, because, as I said before, Ewan Murray's such a huge player for us, and Keith Watson, we were most solid when we had Keith Watson in the team at the start of the season. So it'll be very, very interesting over the next few weeks when we get all these players back fit, in theory, and see how things come to pass. I was actually going to come to you next, Ian, just to check. You came on before he made his debut, so I just wanted to check with you, what have been your impressions of Kyle Turner so far in his first few performances for Rovers?
I think he's done well. I think he's obviously come straight into the team. Murray obviously really, really rates him to kind of jettison him straight in. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know how competitive it is for places in that midfield. But I think he's really tidy on the ball. I think he's quite combative, more so than I actually thought. Do you know what I mean? He's totally not shy to get stuck in. The main thing that I think has been a positive for him is the way that he's linked up with Lewis Vaughan. I think he's really quickly kind of struck up quite a partnership with him. And I think they've got a lot of kind of good understanding, and the way they kind of interlink in the midfield and then kind of enter the final third, I think, has gone really well. And then the way that Vaughan is now, I think him and Jack Hamilton have become a kind of stronger partnership off the basis of Kyle Turner being that starting point for where he gets the ball, and that's where we then get the game going. So he's come in the place of Stanton. It's a different kind of player, you know what I mean? He's not got that box to box energy, but yeah, I think he's been a great addition. I'm delighted he's here.
I think that's a fair summary so far. It was actually interesting to listen to the, I don't know if you caught the Terrace podcast, Craig Telfer and Fraser Clark, Dumbarton fan, were chatting today about sort of nine transfers in the lower leagues that had caught their eye. And after David Witherspoon to Dundee United, it was Kyle Turner to ourselves who was the next one up. And Fraser Clark had a really good line, and it's sort of that he mentions about Kyle Turner, and he's known about him since Stranraer, and he almost, they say about bordering the line between arrogance and confidence. And he said that Kyle Turner, he feels almost definitely shades it towards the more arrogant side, but you can see why, because he has such a good player and you feel like he's a real asset into the team, I believe. And I was very impressed against Queen's Park in relation to his link-up play. I didn't catch the game last Saturday, unfortunately. I was had other commitments. But yeah, just very, very keen to see how that goes moving forward. So
I was going to say, just really quickly on Kyle Turner, I think the one I've not seen an awful lot of him playing other than against us. So he has always looked pretty good. He's one of them that's always stood out. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. But I get the feeling he's a confidence player. It's interesting when you talk about that arrogance kind of confidence thing. But I think the more confident he gets, the better he'll play. And I think the reverse of that was probably in the Livingston game after he gave away the penalty. I felt he really beat himself up about it because he drifted out of that game for quite a good chunk of the game after that, actually. It took him a while to kind of come back in, and I'm not really sure he actually fully recovered. He'd had a pretty decent period just before it, but giving away that penalty seemed to really kind of get to him. So hopefully as he's playing more regularly and getting to know the boys around him a bit better, that confidence will start to build, because I think it's a bit like Dylan Easton. I think he's a very similar kind of character to that kind of feeding off of the confidence kind of thing.
I would say that he'd also had an absolute blooter in the face from one of the Livy players, so that might have kind of impacted it.
I think fair. There was also the talk about how he'd picked up a sort of knock in the bounce game against Dundee as well, which might have had an impact. I think it'll be very interesting to see how Turner responds in that respect. I've always seen him as the sort of player that's, sometimes you get these players across football in general where if they maybe get a bit of flack, they'll be the type of player that will just turn around and be like, I'll show you. I will absolutely show you. And then they just absolutely put in a tremendous performance. So very keen to see if Kyle Turner can do that against Cali this weekend. I'm going to turn to our resident Tuchter next, Leslie. So are you confident heading into Saturday's game? How are you feeling about it?
I am as confident as you can be. I mean, you can't take any result for granted in the division, and I sound like a manager spouting out cliches when I say that, but I think there's a lot of truth to it. That with the performances have been better. I've said it before on here. The performance against Livingston wasn't a great result, but for the most part, it was good. The performance against Queen's Park, again, wasn't a great result, but it was a decent performance. You know, the performances have been getting better. We've stopped having the kind of losing the heads for 20 minutes or whatever at the start of the second half and just drifting out of it. So I would say across the piece, the results haven't been great. We're playing better. And I would echo the points about Turner as well, that you can see what he's trying to do. You know, you can see what he's trying to do. You can see him linking up with Vaughan. And when he's had a bit more time to play with these guys, it'll be great to see what can come of it. In terms of our opposition, again, I'm not sure what to expect. The Inverness seem to be one of these teams that blow hot and cold. They'll have games where they look pretty convincing and they can get something out of it. They'll have other games where they just don't look like they're at the races at all. So it's kind of hard to know what to expect from our opposition, I have to say, and how much some of the recruitment that Duncan Ferguson's been making over the last week or so is going to influence how they start and how they play.
Yeah. I was actually going to turn to you next, Blair, with that. Cali Thistle, they've lost David Witherspoon. He's obviously headed down the A9 in search of Dundee United and moved to them. They've actually made quite a lot of signings in the window. They made, two today. They've brought in Cammy Kerr, or no, three today even. They've brought in Cammy Kerr along with Remy Savage, Jeremiah Mullen, who's from Leeds United. Also, Jamie
Carragher's still in
Corwin, a perm. Aye, so you said, and I think that's a very good shout.
That's a great shout.
But yeah, Jamie Carragher's son, James Carragher, signed on, I think it's a loan from Wigan. And Alex Samuel, who scored against the former Open Goal Broomhill, as they now are, scored against them in the Scottish Cup. So a lot of sort of under 23 players from down south. How do you take that on board? Do you think it's a bit of an unknown quantity after losing Witherspoon?
I think they suffer from that. We spoke about it before when Murray was kind of linked with that Ross County job, and we talked about the idea of moving north being not that great a prospect for a lot of people. You know, you kind of commute to Inverness from the Central Belt, so you're moving up there. So young guys coming up on loan kind of makes sense. Like if they're moving to Dundee or Glasgow or Edinburgh, they're moving to Inverness, they're moving away from home anyway. So it kind of makes sense. It's that unknown thing. Like Duncan Ferguson is Rangers legend Duncan Ferguson has spent a lot of time down south and has clearly seen a lot of football down there. So I imagine he'll have not only really good contacts, but actually probably quite a good working knowledge of that kind of level. He's yet to kind of demonstrate that he has a good working knowledge of this level, though, is probably the one problem I think they might have. We've seen it before. Boys coming up from 23s to us, I've not seen any good ones yet. And that's not to say that they're not out there. It doesn't mean that they didn't exist, but it's not been a particularly fruitful market. From what
ironically,
I've seen, so
I think the best one that we've had so far was Conor O'Riordan, and that's probably because he had to have quite a lot of first team exposure at Crewe Alexandra, and they've just basically put him up just to cover up. So
I was going to say he didn't really come from the 23s. He'd played a bit of first team football and had kind of broken in already. It's, do you mean from what I've seen anyway? It's your
Harry
Timmy
Paniotto
Abrahams and Harry Paniotto and stuff like it's there's the standard is not fantastic, or it's a good standard, but it's a very different style. I think is the other way of looking at it. It's interesting. You mentioned Conor O'Riordan. Obviously, he's got his move this week, which is fantastic for him.
Brilliant.
And it was interesting when he was up here because the one thing that I kind of always leveled at him, I really liked him as a footballer, but I always kind of leveled at him as he was for 6'3". He kind of got shorter when he jumped. Like he wasn't the most aerially kind of blessed. And when you heard Regan Tumulty talking about playing down south, he was talking about, you couldn't believe how little they headed the ball. Like, the ball's just not in the air as much. So it'll be interesting to see how these guys coming up here cope with it, how they kind of deal with it. Cammy Kerr, I think, is a decent signing for this level. I don't think there's any kind of doubt there. He'll do a job up there for them, I would think. But, yeah, it'll come back to bite me. I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced with their signings, but I mean, they may well be world beaters. You never know.
I feel like Cammy Kerr's an interesting one because I've probably seen him play about 30 times or something stupid like that. And he'll probably score on Saturday now that I'm saying this. But I can't remember a game that he's played against us just because he just seems to be one of these players that's just quite beige.
Yeah.
Like, does his job, probably a 7 out of 10 most weeks, but not really going to be setting the heather alight. I'm fully aware that I'm going to be jinxing this. If
I was going to say he's Liam Dick, isn't he?
My favourite
Cammy Kerr story, obviously he's a massive Dundee fan, and the story goes that he came into training, the first training session back after Christmas, and he had a different Dundee training coat on. The boys were like, where'd you get that? He got it for his Christmas. Wore it in the training the next day. Mr. Dundee.
That's fair.
I love that.
Fair play, and I get that. I love that. Dundee fans, I'll certainly lap him up as a legend, given the service for his club. So it'll be interesting to see what he's like playing for a different team, because sometimes players they spend that amount of time with a club that when they go into a new environment it can be pretty difficult. So yeah, just to move us ahead, I guess we'll move into lineups and predictions. So just to start with yourself, Leslie, would you be looking to keep the same formation? Would you change it up? What would be your lineup?
I suspect we will probably see something not that different to what we saw at Livingston, possibly with one or two changes. So you'd assume Dubrovsky in goals. You'd assume we'd go back to the back four with Dick, Murray, I think it will probably still be too soon for Watson, so I'm going to say Kaur and Millen. Then Byrne at the base of the midfield, Turner ahead of him, and then I think I'll see Easton come back in on one side, Mullen, and then Vaughan and Hamilton. Is that 11 players, or have I just made an arse of myself?
It is, but you've forgotten the captain.
I have. And that goes back to what we were just saying. It gets really difficult when if you accept that Scott Brown has done a decent job in defence, but he's done a decent job on an emergency basis. It's a huge call. However, we did bench Scott Brown against Partick. There is precedent. It has happened.
Brown's an interesting one to have on the bench, because when we have seen him come on, he goes right into it like a terror. He's just straight away, he'll just be on it. And there's no relent with him. It's a really enjoyable player to watch in that respect if you're going after a game. Ian, how about for you? What are your thoughts heading into it?
Who knows, man? Who knows at this point? It is an absolute lottery at this point as to what we're going to play. I'll read you what I've got written down, and then we can discuss why it's not going to be that. So I've got Kevin Rose, Millen at right back, Brown and Murray at centre half, and Liam Dick at left back. I've then gone for a two of Byrne and Turner, and then right to left, a three of Millen, Vaughan and Connolly, and then Hamilton. Connolly could be Easton. Mate, this literally could be absolutely anything. Do you know what I mean? It's almost a frivolous exercise trying to guess. It could be absolutely anything. It depends kind of... I mean, like, I was listening to an interview with Murray, Ian Murray, and I think it might have been the Open Goal podcast. It was. Where he's basically saying that, like, sometimes it gets to the Friday, he doesn't know what the team's going to be.
Yeah, did they not say that usually Saturday morning he picks his team?
So they do the shape based on two players in each position. And then on the Saturday, sometimes he'll say, like, right, okay, I'm going for Aidan, it's you, or Josh, it's you, or Lewis, it's not you. For a player, I imagine most players prior to joining us have been in a situation where they know if they're playing or not on a Friday. So there is an element of keeping players on their toes, but I suppose there then becomes an element of, are the players fully prepared? And I'm just spitballing here. Are the players fully prepared for the game if they don't know they're playing until the morning of the game? Hmm. Who knows?
I think it's...
Do you not think players just assume they're playing?
Yeah, I imagine...
With this squad as well. A lot of players are in this squad, which is good. I really like...
Yeah.
I totally agree with you, Blair. I think that... a lot of mavericks in the squad, as I say, and a lot of players that will probably be very confident going into each Saturday saying, I should be on that starting 11. Blair, for you, you want to take a guess at this? Or?
Yeah, very similar to Ian. So, Dubrovsky and goals, obviously. Dick, Murray, Brown and Millen across the back. Byrne at the base of the midfield. And then Turner kind of ahead of him. Easton on the left. Millen on the right. Vaughan off of Hamilton. Pretty bog standard, I think.
Yeah. One of the interesting shouts I saw in our group chat, and I think he was maybe probably joking about this, but it was one to potentially think about, was Scott Fleming said, are we going to go for a 3-4-3 for the rest of the season? And when you think about it, that's not actually a bad shout. Now, I've not gone with that myself, but if you did go with it, you could have Liam Dick at centre-back. I mean, you would have to sacrifice one of potentially Millen or Watson are back for this one. And you could have Kaur in there as well. So the two central defenders and maybe Liam Dick if you sacrifice Ross Millen. And then heading into the midfield, you could look towards your wingers and then hold midfields and take it from there. Obviously, there's speculation about our front line, but we'll come to that in a little bit. For me, I was sticking with the 4-2-3-1, as I love to do. So I've just went big Kevin Goals. Dick at left back, Millen at right back, Kaur and Murray for the two centre backs. Now, I know that we've tried it before, and I think it's only been played 3 games, and it's one of those with a Brown and Byrne in midfield. But I do think that's got a bit to offer, particularly if you can get Scott Brown driving on a bit. Turner to play as a number 10, Easton and Vaughan cutting in from the left wing, Easton on the right, and then Hamilton up top. for me. But again, I know nothing about football. Ian Murray's going to be far more qualified, and we will probably all be left looking like complete dafties because it's, as you say, an absolute tombola to pick. So that's probably a fair summary of where we're at the moment. Now, as I alluded to before, the paper talk, it was actually really quiet until today. We didn't hear much. So firstly, they were sort of saying that it's looking likely that we're getting towards the point where Keith Watson and Ewan Murray will be back, which are obviously going to bolster the squad. But a couple of days ago, one of the national newspapers actually came out with a story. It was quite an unexpected one, I would have said, really. I can understand potentially from playing time, but Jamie Gullen's been linked with a move over to the League of Ireland to Dundalk, who European football. So, Ian, do you think it's fair to say it's been probably a frustrating season for Jamie?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. Gullen is probably the one player in the squad where if we were going to get an upgrade, it's probably him that's going to go out and someone else that's going to come in. And it feels really harsh because I really like Jamie Gullen. I think he's got a lot to offer as a football player. I'm just not sure what position that is. Yeah. And I think he's really suffered and struggled for game time directly off the back of that. Because he's not going to displace Jack Hamilton. Jack, I think, is our most important player. So he's not going to get in front of him. He's probably then third or fourth choice in both the wing and the number 10 position. So he's really struggling for game time. And, you know, if we think we can upgrade that position, then unfortunately, it probably makes a bit of sense. And I'm sad to see him go because we've had some great moments with Jamie. So if he does go, it would be with a heavy heart. But in terms of where we are as a football club and where we're trying to go as a football club, I'm not sure Gullen is quite up to that standard. And if the club think that we can replace him with someone who is, I think we probably need to take that chance and roll the dice.
Yeah, I think that's a fair summary. In particular, everything I've heard, I know Christina, she touched on it before. She said that like he's one of these guys that just comes across as being such a lovely guy, which makes it all the more difficult because you want them to do so well. Like when they are really good as individual people, it makes it a lot more difficult. But Leslie, do you think that's going to be the best move for both parties? What are your thoughts about the link?
Sadly, I have to agree with that. I'm in an ideal world where we have a lot more money. I would love Hammer to stay. But contrary to what the managers and fans of some other teams tell you, we do not have an infinite pool of cash to squander on constructing a big squad. And you very much get the feeling from the Potter interview during the week and what we've seen earlier in the window that we're effectively is a kind of one in, one out sort of situation. Gullen is in a difficult position, and you know, given the player I'm going to draw an analogy to here, this might sound like an insult, but I absolutely do not mean it like this. You can see him having a career path very much like Craig Whiting, and yet he's a really hard-working forward player who is actually going to be a really good acquisition for a lot of championship sides, certainly a really good acquisition for that very good League One side. And as I say, I absolutely cannot stress this point too strongly. I do not mean that as any kind of mocking or insult by comparing him to Craig Whiting. But, you know, what I mean is there's a rock-solid good player in there. But a bit like Ethan Ross, he's not going to realise that with the game time that he's getting. And it is unfortunate because, you know, you could see when he came in, when McGlynn brought him in on a permanent deal, there would have been that vision to sort of build the attacking lineup around Jamie Gullen. That's why he was given the number 9 shirt for that reason when he came in. And then he's just had rotten luck with injuries since. The manager's changed and how we've played has progressed. And in terms of how we're playing with Murray and the other players, it's difficult to see how he kicks on within that setup. So likewise, it'd be very, very reluctantly, but I suspect it's probably going to be the best move for all parties if he does move on.
Yeah, I can totally agree with that sort of perspective and where you're coming from, especially as sort of like moving forward as a club, just reviewing these decisions. And again, it has changed. But I think as well, going to come to you next, Blair. it's probably worth mentioning. It's actually a really good opportunity for Jamie as well. If he is moving forward, might potentially be playing European football, so that could be an avenue for him as well. So what do you make of that?
Yeah, I'd agree. I'd echo what everybody says. I really like Jamie Gullen. I wish the guy really well. I wish it had worked out. I'm talking like he's already gone, but I really wish, even now, that it worked out better for him than what it has.
Yeah.
I think Whiting's maybe a bit harsh, but I get the point that you're making, Les, in terms of we've seen loads of these strikers. When they bounce between League One and the Championship, they're brilliant in League One, and they're a bit decent in the Championship, but not really kicking on. And I think that's probably, I think Ian hits a nail on the head. I don't actually know what his best position is. I'm not sure he knows what his best position is either. He's an athlete. He's a hard worker. He's honest. His endeavour has never been in question. But he's not a natural number nine for me. He's not a natural goal scorer. Don't think he's a natural winger. But a chance to move somewhere fresh and start again might suit him. Playing regularly might do him some good. I also kind of think, and I have nothing to base this on other than being a Rovers fan and thinking that I know everything about the club, and I don't. I would imagine he's on a good wage as well. Like, we've plied him away from Hibs under McGlynn when there were a few clubs in for him at the time. I remember when he came to us, there was talk of him going here and there was talk of him going there, and then we kind of, it came out that we were definitely signing him. But I would imagine we've signed him on a pretty decent wage. And when you look at it in terms of Championship football, like, would you keep Jamie Gullen in your squad as a squad player? 100% every time, because you get what you get with Jamie. Like, I'd have no issue at all with him coming off the bench and doing a job for us. But is he on a wage of a squad player? That's probably where I think he probably isn't. I think he's probably on a wage of at least a starter, or close to a starter. And as we've already said, he's third or fourth down the pecking order, maybe.
I think that's a fair summary to make. And again, it's a really good point. But just to go back from sort of my perspective, you could just reiterate what Ian said. We've had a lot of good memories with Jamie Gullen, whether it was his first goal against Forfar, that one that was an absolute rocket in the playoffs all those years ago. You look back and just think of stuff like the game at East Fife when he came back on loan and scored in, what was it, a 5-3 win there.
He broke the hoodoo.
Aye.
He'll always be the boy that broke the hoodoo.
Broke two hoodoos. Yeah. The one here and the one up there. So
I would say as well, two goals in 16 games so far this season, both of which have been winners against Inverness. So if he does fancy hanging about for another weekend, he's absolutely more than welcome.
Oh, aye, 100%. And again,
that's a good point.
Things haven't been finalised yet. It'll probably be over the next few days based off these. I mean, I don't see there being smoke without fire in terms of a press report like this, where it's quite the case. But again, he's given a lot of good memories. It might just be one of those ones where he leaves with our best wishes, and I don't think anyone at Rovers is, certainly in the fan base, I know, is going to have a bad word to say about him, because he does seem like a really good guy. And
I'd imagine if he goes as well, there'll be a fee involved. So, I mean, if you can get a fee for him,
again,
you'd be daft,
touched on, I think I touched on this before. I don't know whether it was on sort of Pie and Bob or in the group chat, but I seem to remember quite a lot was made. It was a similar deal to Ethan Ross, where a lot of like Hibs waived the development fee for him in order to get like sell on clauses. So I don't know if that will come in. But again, if he does move on, all the best to Jamie. Again, you see lads like Jonathan Afolabi going across to the League of Ireland. He scored, 25-odd goals and then gets a move to Belgium. Like, it's a league where if you can get in among the goals and you kick on and you do well, there's opportunities there for players. So if that happens with him, I would be absolutely delighted for Gullen and wish him all the best if he does decide to move on.
Let me just say one thing as well.
Yep.
Somebody else, Dundalk. That's what Dundalk revitalised, none other than Sam Stanton.
That's right.
Stanton went there. Came back a different player.
Well, if he does that for himself, then more than welcome to come back to Rovers in the future if he's going to have a Sam Stanton-esque impact at that point. Now, we've mentioned the one that potentially is leaving. There's also Courier Sport this evening broke the news that we look likely to be leading the race out of the eight other potentially interested teams in the championship for Zach Ruddin of Dundee. So I'm just going to ask overall, firstly, Blair, what are your thoughts on that one?
Meh. I would take him. I would absolutely take him. I think he's another option. There's a little bit of me, I've got to be honest. Signing him, it would just piss off the Pars, which would be hilarious as well, which is a big reason that I'm kind of behind it. But Zach's a funny one. Maybe I've just not seen him at his best, but I've never been massively, you know, like, he's not a player that I would go, oh, I'd love to see him in a Rovers shirt.
I think you're the same with Zach Ruddin as I was about Cammy Kerr when I was talking about him earlier.
Maybe, aye.
Aye.
Yeah. I've said before, I know nothing. So I'm wrong all the time. So I'd love to be wrong about this, but meh.
That's the funny thing, though, as well. Like, you see a lot of things where people particularly involved with football, I know that it was one for Dylan Tate with his recent move from Accies over to jumped ship to Falkirk. Not the first time that he's jumped
ship
from one team in a title charge to another. But we were saying that you'll see a lot of his pals on Twitter sticking up for him, which is fair enough. He's your friend. You want your friend to do well, and you've probably seen these football fans and think, oh, they didn't have a clue. But again, it's out there for players to prove people wrong. Totally. And you, again, we're all the first to admit, if we've made an absolute stinker of an opinion, we are the ones that, and again, it goes back to the Livy post-match where they, and I think every single one of the people on our podcast says, fair play, because that's actually class banter. Like, just a good laugh. And
but
we fully
you didn't go on a podcast and not have an opinion, eh? So,
aye, that's very, meh. Very true. So he says, meh, that's it. Meh. Leslie, any different reaction from you, or what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think this is great. I'm going to offer a different opinion. I think this is great. Not because of Zach Ruddin, but I think it's great because it takes another single point of failure out of the team. How many times have we sat in the group chat during a game and said, we're playing like Hamilton's on the pitch when he isn't? And getting another big unit up there gives us another option, and it takes a lot of the pressure off Jack Hamilton. You know, if he's not fully fit, if he wants to come off after 70 minutes or whatever, we've got somebody else that we can put up there. And I'm not suggesting that we just use him as this big lighthouse, you know, up there that you just send balls up to. But it is somebody else that if he hits a bit of form, he's got a bit of fitness, he can bully defenders, he can use his physicality. So again, purely again, like Turner will do for Stanton, you're taking another single point of failure out of the team and bringing somebody else who's got a bit of experience up at the top end of the championship. So I'm actually quite happy to have Zach Ruddin on board if this story turns out to be true.
I love the enthusiasm for it, Leslie. I'm all here for it. And then finally, Ian, for you, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think if it's going to be a replacement for Jamie, I think that's definitely an upgrade. I may or may not be on record as saying that I'm not Zach Ruddin's biggest fan. So,
God, say meh. Say it.
No. I'm glad. If he is going to come in, I think it's a good signing. Leslie makes an excellent point about the single point of failure. Taking that away, I think, is going to be a good thing. Yeah, I've not got much else to say. I've never really forgiven Zach for his antics at the Fog game at Firhill. So I'm bitter about it, and I'm holding on to it. But if he comes in and shoots us to the title, I'm quite happy to do a Kent Brockman-style rollback and welcome him as our new overlord.
See, for me, the only concern I have with it, and I'm going to just lay my cards on the table here, is he's got a wee bit of a track history of injuries, so he's not always been able to keep fit. But the big thing for me is his goal return. Like, he's played, and it's not like, you know, you get those players, like I was saying before, like a Jamie Gullan. If he's, you know, chipping in with the odd goal here and there in the championship, if he was to drop down to League One or move across to the League of Ireland, which is recognised as being a bit of a lower level, he'll probably be quite prolific and he'll get a few goals. But Zach Rudden's played at this level, and I mean, I don't even know what his best return is. He scored 14 goals in his time at Partick, 7 goals in his time at Dundee.
I think Falkirk the one that jumps out has been the spell where he was relatively seemed to be in among the goals. But even then, I looked at that statistically.
It's 12.
But what I would say is that, I mean, as a fan base who've experienced both Brian Graham and Kevin Nisbet playing for them, sometimes players can have that penny drop moment. And I don't think that Rovers are that at the moment, because we're joint top of the table, move from club to club, and then eventually there's a moment where they go, actually, need to kick on now, this is it. So again, it would offer them a fresh start and a team that's playing really well. We've got the creative players there. It's just about, again, getting it into the box and having that ability to just kill teams off, which I think that we've been really missing to a degree, especially given...
Yeah, it's definitely another option.
Yeah,
is Rudden out of contract at the end of the season with Dundee?
Oh, I'm not too sure. Again, that should be something a podcast host should recognise and research, but of course I'm not that type of person, am I?
I wanted to get that in before anybody tried to ask me, so that's why I said it.
That's fair enough. No, personally for me, I think it'd be a very interesting signing. I just like the fact that he had this. Again, it's a bit like Kyle Turner. He's got the Gallus streak. Like when he was younger at the time, but when he was on loan at Falkirk, he did an interview with Falkirk TV. And Ian's nodding his head approvingly because he knows what's coming, where he just says, I'm just here to score effing goals. And that was it. I think he was only like 18 at the time, but like just this Gallusness about him. So if we can get that swagger. He was on loan from Rangers. So, yeah, we'll just if the move does go forward, which it does seem to be heading in that direction, it was interesting with the Courier report suggesting that it should be done before the weekend, but then on Rafe TV, the interview with Neil and Ian suggests that there won't be anything before the weekend. So quite keen to see how that pans out. But, yeah, just
my only concern is, can we loan three players from one club?
Yeah, there's
we've got one currently.
Aye. And there's
we've got one currently, and there's talk of one coming in. And to steal Leslie's thunder a little bit. No, I was going to say, I'd quite like a Bittersweet Symphony, and the drugs don't work, but I'd like somebody in. You know, like, I think that's, if I'm being totally honest. I think, lucky man. I think if I'm being totally honest, my reservation is, does it nail that? Does it rule that out? And if I had my choice of the two of them coming in, I think I'd want some verve in my back four.
Mind. I mean, there's another way you can do it as well, which is Dick could go into the centre-back. There's other things we can do here. You know, we can look for our treasure on another island, and there might be something else that will fire us up the table like Stevenson's rocket.
Well, that could be another one. Fortunately for us in our fan base, there's a Texan with a Rovers emblazoned Stetson who I've absolutely zero doubt will be piling into the YouTube comments right now to inform us about whether we can have that signings, these signings all from the same club. Really one to keep an eye on the end of the transfer window, which for Rovers fans over the last few years, generally speaking, it's usually quite a quiet period, other than one exception that I don't think we really need to go into this evening. Keep an eye on that. But all eyes are on Saturday's game, firstly against Cali. Hopefully we can get a good turnout for that in the run-up to the Challenge Cup semi-final. That will round off tonight's episode. Thank you to everyone for tuning in. Once again, we can be followed on Twitter. We've got the Instagram page live as well that's run by Carol. Does a really good job with that. We've also got Blair on the shop as well. We've got continual merch popping up from time to time, which has been brilliant to see.
We've got a couple of good ones in the pipeline, but we need to win a game first.
No pressure on the lads in the squad, but if they can help line our coffers by getting us a win, that would be very, very handy. Thank you for tuning in. Please like, subscribe, share the podcast where you can. Again, if you're in the South Stand and you see us about, feel free to say hello and tell your pals about it as well. So thank you for tuning in, and we will be back no doubt this weekend with a review of the probable antics that will come up against Cali Thistle. We're all just praying it's not Colin Stevens that is in charge of the game. Thanks for listening and enjoy your evening.